exchange in the true long tradition of Soto and Rinzai inspiring each other. So with that, I will turn it over to Rinzai.
And I unmuted myself. Can you hear me now? Good morning, everyone. I'm delighted to know that my neighbor is now mowing his yard, but we'll see how it affects this talk. I've been looking at his yard going, when is he going to mow it? And so he picked my Dharma talk to mow it. I love my neighbor, and I'm happy that he's mowing his yard. But hopefully, if it gets disruptive, let me know, and maybe I'll turn the volume up or something. I appreciate Domio's statement. Yeah, she's coming over to Norink tonight, and it's delightful to be at Bright Ways End today. And as they say, wherever we go, there we are, and here I am. And this seems so familiar and yet so foreign all at the same time. We're in the midst of really, and who knows how long it will go, of, as Domio said, a pandemic. And these are strange times. Strange times. And yet when we have our eyes open, all times are strange. All times are unique. All times are wondrous. What makes this time different than any other time? From a fundamental sense, nothing at all. This is no different than any other time. From my relative mind, I could say, oh yeah, it's no different. I get up in the morning, I have a cup of coffee, I read a little bit, I do my zazen, and I go about my life. It's no different. That's the relative mind. The relative mind could also say, oh, it's much different because I can't do the things that I used to do. I have to do Zendo at home, and everything is turned upside down. And that is also the relative mind. But from our deep mind, in a deeper sense, and deep is just a metaphor. It's not deeper or shallow or what have you, but it's helpful for us to use these metaphors. From a deep sense, nothing is different. This vibrant universe is blossoming all the time. And if we miss the fact that in the midst of a pandemic, in having to engage our spiritual practice through monitors and microphones and everyone's in 2D, and we think that this is wrong, we become trapped, as opposed to seeing this as a continuation of this forever blossoming of the universe. And in my mind, Zen practice is nothing other than that, is waking up to the brilliance and the intimacy of this very moment. Nothing needs to be changed. Nothing needs to be done. This moment is brilliant and wonderful. Again, the relative mind might say, oh, how brilliant and wonderful it is that if you're dying, if you've gotten COVID-19, or if somebody you know is dying from COVID-19. And from a perspective, it's like heartbreaking and awful. And I haven't caught it yet, but I imagine if and when I do, I'm hearing the likelihood is that I will catch it. I don't think I'll enjoy it very much. And yet, would I bring my categorizing mind in and say, this is bad? Or how incredible, and how tender, and how meaningful and important each moment is. And indeed, I say that all of our hearts, if we have hearts to be opened, when we hear the news of the world right now, our hearts break. Our hearts are touched with love and concern, distress, and hopefully amazement. This rich and complicated life that takes life and gives life, and all these blossoms that blossom forth and blossom out. And this is the course of our life. It's always been that way. And in some ways, I think our culture, not everyone in our culture, not every individual who's faced specific hardships, but we've lived in very comfortable times. And as we know from the pandemic, and as we know from this impending ecological collapse, that may be coming to an end. That sounds grim. I hope it's not coming to an end. But things are difficult right now. And our task is not to be caught by difficult or not difficult. The task is to see this blossoming universe for exactly what it is. The namesake of my tradition, Rinzai, in Chinese he'd be Linji, lived in the 9th century, China. He was a student of a Baku, who was a student of Hyakujo, who was a student of Baso. When Baso was asked, what is Buddha? Baso said, mind is Buddha. Later, when Baso was asked, what is Buddha? He said, no mind, no Buddha. Hyakujo, some of you know famously from the second koan of the Mumonkan, Hyakujo and the Fox. Does an enlightened person fall into causation or not? We all know from Buddhist teachings that our practice is trying to free us from causation. And we also, if we've looked deeply, we know that perspective can be a trap. And Hyakujo answered, an enlightened person does not ignore causation. We do not ignore the relative world. Baku was a student of Hyakujo's. Now, Baku was a giant of a man. He was like 7 feet tall. And he took on this rascal Rinzai to be his student. We know Rinzai as being a fierce, seemingly fierce, and uncompromising Zen teacher. And this tradition is known for being, one at the same time we have a lot of gold and a lot of fanciness. It's also known for being very earthy and rambunctious. And you could say it started with Rinzai, this rambunctiousness, but it goes back. Obaku hit Hyakujo when Hyakujo was playing up Hyakujo and the Fox. And Rinzai hit Obaku, and there's a lot of hitting and yelling going back and forth. And just to give everyone a flavor of a little bit of Rinzai and his teaching style from the Rinzai Roku, this is the Ascending the High Seat, Chapter 5, a series of quick exchanges. These exchanges were written down by students afterwards going, wow, that was weird. And they take their notebook and write it down. And 100 plus years later, it was compiled into a book. So we have chapter 5 of Ascending the High Seat. The master ascended the high seat. A monk asked, what is the essence of Buddha Dharma? The master raised his whisk, those horsetail whisks. The monk shouted, the master hit him. That's it. Next, another man asked, what is the essence of Buddha Dharma? The master again raised his whisk. The monk shouted. The master also shouted. The monk was going to say something, and the master hit him. I bet right now you're thinking, I'm glad Domyo doesn't teach this way. The master said to the assembled monks, listen. Those of you who devote yourselves to the Dharma must not be afraid of losing your bodies and your lives. 20 years ago, I was at Master Obaku's place. I asked 3 times, what is the ultimate essence of Buddha Dharma? And I was honored to receive his stick 3 times, but it felt like being touched by a soft branch of mugwort. Now, I long to taste it once more. Is there anyone who can do it for me? Now here's this teacher, he just says, anyone willing to show me what you've got? A monk stepped out from the assembly and said, I'll do it for you. Either this monk is bold, clear, or stupid. We don't know yet. The master handed in the stick. The monk was about to take it, and the master hit him. Now many people hear these hits and these shouts, and we have these cultural preconceptions that when I'm hit or when I'm shouted at, I must be scolded. That must be what is happening. I'm being disapproved of. And sometimes the hit is not so much a disapproval as a prod. Wake up. The monk was about to take the stick. He hesitated. So he was neither bold nor clear, maybe not stupid, but reckless in a way. He was about to take the stick. And Rinzai said, don't hesitate. Do not hesitate. Earlier, a monk was going to say something. He's thinking about it. Master says, don't hesitate. Other times the shout or the hit can be confirmation or joining in the delight of this expression of Dharma. We think about a hit, and it may seem painful and it may seem punishing, and sometimes it is. And for those of us who suffered abusive strikes, this is difficult to face. But the vibrancy, the aliveness, the immediacy, or a shout, the aliveness, the vibrancy, and the immediacy, don't get caught in thought. Don't get caught in vacillation. Just be here now. Don't hesitate. And Rinzai points to this over and over and over again. But I want to take you to, in that previous koan, he said that I was trained under Master Obaku, and I asked three times what was the essence of Buddha Dharma, and three times I was hit. And now I look back at that time so fondly. I'm going to read the chapter in which Rinzai, who was just a bumpkin like all the rest of us, was caught, and how he woke up. And this is a chapter from The Record of Pilgrimages, chapter 1. The master began his training under the guidance of Obaku. His attitude was sincere and direct. The head monk said with a sigh, "Even though he's a relatively new monk, he's quite different from the others." He then asked him, "How long have you been here, Venerable Monk?" The master replied, 3 years. So just keep in mind, this is Rinzai, who became a Zen legend and a Zen genius, and he's training every day for 3 years in this monastery. And at this point, he's like, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So be easier on yourselves. If you're like, I've been doing this for 6 months and I don't know what I'm doing. I've been 3 years, I don't know what I'm doing. I've been doing it for 10 years and I don't know what I'm doing. He's studying intensely and he's got some talent. And he's been there for 3 years, and the head monk asks, "Have you ever questioned the teacher?" The master says, "No, I don't know what I'd ask." We all know that feeling. Like, here I am, I'm breathing, I'm doing this. Go on and see the teacher. I don't know what I would say. I don't know what I would do. So again, here we get a real sense that Rinzai is just stumbling along, this young kid, like, well, I decided I'd study Zen. So the head monk says, "Okay, well, I urge you to see the head Osho and ask him, what is the quintessence of Buddha Dharma?" Now the head monk is setting Rinzai up. So the master's like, "Okay, I'll do that. Why not?" He went and asked, and before he had finished speaking, Obaku hit him. The master withdrew. The head monk asks, "How did it go?" The head monk knows how it went. "How did it go?" The master said, "Before I could finish speaking, Obaku hit me. I don't understand." The head monk said, "Just go and ask him again. Try again." The master went and asked again. Obaku hit him again. Thus, three times he had asked the question and was hit three times. The master humbly returned to the head monk and said, I appreciate your compassionate guidance. Really, I do. You forced me to ask the question three times, and three times I was hit. I deplore deeply that my accumulated karmic impediments are preventing me from getting the profound meaning of Osho's intention. I know something important has happened here, but I'm too dumb to get it." This is Rinzai saying this, who later was so exact and so precise. And when we hear these later koans, we have to remember this. He remembers his past. He remembers being confused and lost. And so Rinzai says, "I've decided to leave. Obviously, I can't get it. I'm going to go." And the head monk says, "Well, before leaving, make sure to bid the Osho farewell." And the master bowed and withdrew. The head monk went to the Osho and said, The young monk who's been questioning you is a vessel of Dharma. When he comes to take his leave, kindly give him some advice. I am positive that in the future, with much training, he will become like a great tree providing cool shade for the people of the world. That last statement is probably apocryphal, written by the people who compiled the book who are already strong adherents of Rinzai. But let's play along. The master went to take his leave. Obaku said, "You must not go to any place but Daigu's by the river of Koan. I am sure he will guide you." The master arrived at Daigu's place. Daigu asked, "Where are you from?" The master said, "I came from Obaku." Daigu asked, "What did Obaku say to you?" The master said, "I asked three times, what is the quintessence of Buddha Dharma? And three times I was hit. I don't know whether or not I'm at fault." Two things here. One, Rinzai goes to this teacher and the teacher says, "Where are you from?" Now, if I meet somebody, once we could meet people face to face and they come into the Zendo and I meet them and I shake their hand and say, "Hey, how are you? Where are you from?" A certain tone, I'm actually curious and say, "Oh yeah, I come from Beaverton," or I live over on 42nd Avenue. "Oh, okay, great." And yet this question in a Zen context, maybe it's happening in the Doksan room where now Rinzai is having formal meeting with Daigu. He says, "Where are you from?" He's asking Rinzai to show him more of his heart. And we might think that this is an isolated circumstance, that we have to be prepared for when this question comes. Is Rinzai asking me, "Where am I from?" Or is he asking me, "Where are you from?" I have to watch out and be ready, because I might be asked that at some point. But the truth of our Zen training is we are always being asked this question. Where are you from? Who are you? What are you about? And can we all respond immediately and spontaneously and with what I am calling depth or fullness of life, so that I'm not caught in some trance and just giving an answer and kind of halfway checked out? And Rinzai answered, and honestly, nothing wrong with his answer. You meet a certain Zen person and say, "Where are you from?" And they say, "Nowhere." That can be a little annoying. No, really, where are you from? "Everywhere." Oh, that's when Rinzai will also give a hit. Or if he were to shout, "Where are you from?" Shout, "Oh, that's nice, but really, where are you from?" So nothing wrong, and yet Rinzai missed it. He says, "I came from Obaku." He says, "What did Obaku say to you?" And Rinzai says, "I asked three times, what is the essence of Buddha Dharma?" What? This isn't in one sense, we think, "Oh, that's a good technical question. And I'm going to go pull out my Zen dictionary and look up Buddha Dharma and be able to give an answer." But when a monk is asking, "What's the essence of Buddha Dharma?" he's asking that same question. Where am I from? Who am I? What is this? What is it to live in a pandemic? What is it to be at the brink of life and death? What is it to die? What is it to live? What is it to see our earth suffering, overcrowded and treated poorly? What is it? What is this really? That's what the monk was prodding Rinzai, who I think up to that point was thinking, "Am I doing the forms right? Am I getting this? Isn't something supposed to happen?" And he said, "Well, go to the teacher, because I want you to have an experience. I want you to dig in and really wonder what the hell's going on." And sure enough, when he went to Obaku and he was hit, Rinzai started wondering what the hell's going on. But he couldn't make sense of it. He kept trying to frame it from our normal way of framing things. Is a pandemic good or is it bad? From one sense, good or bad. But what about from other senses, other perspectives? Am I doing this well or am I doing this not? That's a good question for me to ask when I'm playing my guitar. But really, is it the fundamental question? And Rinzai shows his hand by saying, three times I was hit. And I don't know whether I'm at fault or not. So obviously I didn't get it right. I did something wrong and he hit me. He's still in that mindset. Although with each hit and the increasing doubt, he's not simply doubting himself, though that's still in there at this point. He starts doubting everything. He doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't get it. And that becomes a wonderful opportunity to deepen and to ripen and to break through the limited frame of our thinking mind. The limited frame of our thinking mind. In a similar way, no matter what we face, but in particular, the intensity of the present calamity of this coronavirus is a wonderful opportunity for us to break from our habit minds and our habit energy and to see more deeply into what is this really. We're all living more monastically. We're living more intentionally. We're living more mindfully, more thoughtfully. What we used to take for granted, we no longer have. We're left without. In our own little coffee in the cloud, we have Zendo in the Park, which is no longer happening in the park, but at our homes, but I'm not going to drop the name, so it's still called Zendo in the Park through Zoom. And then we have Coffee in the Cloud. And some of our Sangha members were talking about meeting people at a distance, and just naturally wanting to hug them and not being able to. We're so used to this and so used to these natural movements and not being able to, and feeling the tinge of pain or grief, not being able to. Is that good or is that bad? It's revealing and worthy of attention. And in my own experience and in terms of my relationship with the people that I work with, both in the Sangha and people, friends who I communicate with and in my psychotherapy practice, my sense is everyone is starting to settle in, maybe a little grumpily, like, oh, this is going to go on for a while and I'm not liking it. But settling in and habit mind is starting to arise again. This is just the way it is now. We have to watch out for that. We have to keep a sustained sense of wonder, and it takes effort to create that sustained sense of wonder. And Zen training is designed to confuse and confound and maintain that sustained sense of what the hell's going on. And that can be a scolding internal, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, which is half of where Rinzai's at, but an increasing, what is going on? And we can approach it from the mind, or we can approach it from the body. We can approach it with our full energy, with a shout. What is going on? Can I throw my whole life into that question? What is going on? That's the heart of all of Rinzai and Rinzai Zen practice and koan study. So Daigu hears Rinzai and he sees through Rinzai, and he, just like Obaku and the head monk, are trying to help him along, and he says, oh, Obaku is such a grandma, such a grandma. This fierce guy, he's just a grandma. He completely exhausted himself for your sake. He completely exhausted himself for your sake. Yet you come here saying, I don't know whether I'm not or not I'm at fault. Daigu is saying, Obaku gave it all to you. He gave it all to you. Why? Because it's all out. He exhausted himself in his expression of it to say, this is it, buddy. And Rinzai was caught wondering, oh, really? Huh? I guess I got to figure it out. In my own Doksan room, I often see people come and they express this vibrancy and this presence and a response in a koan. And I'm like, yep. And they say, yeah, but I don't know. Oh, okay. It's there. but I don't know. I don't know if this is right or not. We have to start to trust a different knowing. We have to trust a different perspective. This isn't to abandon thought, to abandon concepts, to abandon where am I from. I'm from Portland originally, from Carmichael, California. Don't hold it against me. Years ago, saying you're from California could get you in trouble. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's still that way. We don't abandon it. And yet, at the same time, we put it in perspective. We don't abandon. I'm going to do everything I can to stay alive and protect this pandemic. And boy, I'm not thrilled with what's going on in the political world right now. In fact, I'm quite distressed, and I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. And I'm going to do everything I can to create more sanity around the ecological crisis that we're facing. And I want to be caring and loving towards people. And, you know, if I ask you to go to the store and pick me up some peanut butter, pick me up peanut butter. Don't just say one is as good as the other. I'm not caught by differentiation. This is all, we can't abandon that. And yet we have it in perspective. To live, to die, to be scared, to be relieved, to be calm, to be distressed, to be pleased, to be angry, all blossoming in this blossoming universe. All blossoms. And the mind says, well, what do I do with all that? Upon hearing Daigu's words, the master was greatly awakened and said, ah, Obaku's Buddha Dharma is nothing special. What a punk. And I'll tell you, if you go on, Rinzai, just like so many of us, we get an awakening or have some insight, and he becomes arrogant for quite a while. And he needs to be tamed and trained, because he's like, I see through it. It's nothing special. And yet, it's nothing special. In that last prod by Daigu, he saw it. And so we say, oh, I got to do all the work and figure it out. And somehow I'm going to go read the Lotus Sutra after this talk, and I'm going to figure it out, because I want to try to understand how it's nothing special. It's here right now. We have a notion that our lives are smaller and there's something wrong with many people do, but it's like, oh, this Zoom thing, it's not the real thing. Guess what? It's the real thing. How could it not be? How could it not be? How could any expression of anything in this whole wide blossoming universe not be it? So if you're bored and your house is quiet and it's lonely, that's it. It's nothing special. Wow, that's it. Just sitting on my couch, plucking some weeds this afternoon. If you're one of those... you know, as I say, these are terribly fortunate times, because they can help us with our practice. And if you're terribly fortunate enough to be living at home and raising kids and going to work so that you're doing Zoom work, Zoom Zen practice, and homeschooling your kids all at once, and everything is chaotic, that's your practice. That's it. And you don't have to practice with it. That's it. It's nothing special. This is the blossoming universe. You've just got a lot of blossoms going on all around you. It's the blossoming universe. It's nothing special. Whoa, it's nothing special. My neighbor's lawnmower, my laurels that are starting to get out of hand and we'll need a trim here soon. My dog scratching at the door. He's wondering, what am I doing in here? I hear you talking. I hear you getting loud. It must be exciting. Another cup of coffee, a nap in the afternoon. A trip to the grocery store wearing a mask, looking in each other's eyes. All of this, all of this, all of this. So Rinzai says, Obaku's Buddha Dharma is nothing special. And Daigu sees the master. And he takes this punk and he says, you little bedwetting devil. A moment ago you said, I don't know whether or not I'm at fault. But now you say, Obaku's Buddha Dharma is nothing special? What did you see? Speak. speak, Daigu continues to prod. In those moments when we have an awakening, we go, I get it, I get it, I get it. Somebody tell me I'm right. And Zen has this long tradition of the teacher saying, ah, bullshit. That's good and bad. But it has a long tradition of the teacher saying, why? Why? Because we have to stand on our own confidence. If Rinzai goes around and saying, I know I got it, Daigu told me so. You know, it's when you meet the Zen people who like to show their pedigree. I trained under so-and-so and so-and-so. When did you have first Kensho? I had it such and such a time. Oh, you had yours 3 years before me. This isn't it. All this artifice. It's artifice. It's not it. We all have to stand on our own confidence without reliance upon anyone else. Why? Because then we know that we see it. It's like loving somebody and it not mattering that they love you back. You know, when you say, I love you. I love you. Do you love me? I'm not so sure about my love right there, but it's just like, you know, I love you. I love you. I'm mad at you. I know. But I'm confident in my love. And if we can be confident in this, in it, that it's nothing special, boy, how do we go about my life? And that's the next thing that Daigu asks. He says, speak, speak. Not good enough to say, wow, that was a trip. I just opened up to some wild experiences. I want more. Speak. What did you see? Speak. We're in the midst of a pandemic. How do we respond? Don't think now, immediately. Act, act. Oh, this is a hard one. Because it doesn't require a lot of action. It's kind of stay in place, keep your distance, and yet we're doing it. Or if you know that a cared for one in the Sangha is sick and needs groceries, speak, act, do, don't hesitate. We know. And again, this is what this is pointing at. When we know intuitively how to be in the world, there's a calling. The Quakers call it the still, quiet voice that compels us forward into the world to act in a harmonizing and caring way. Our practice is to get rid of all the self-doubt and habit training that has tried to keep us safe so that we can respond more immediately and more clearly. And that happens in many, many, many ways. In this case, in the Zen setting, as Daigu beautifully and wonderfully, the key here is, what did you see? Speak, speak. He's like, show me. Oh, and Rinzai punched Daigu in the ribs 3 times. Koom, koom, koom. Daigu pushed the master away and said, your teacher's a baku. I want nothing to do with you. In that moment, actually, Daigu says, yep. And again, take this in perspective. These are young men. Daigu is probably not a young man, but he practiced and trained in this rambunctious, playful way. And it's people roughhousing. And for most of us here, I don't want to be punched in the ribs. And probably none of you want to practice that way. But try to get the sense of immediacy and vibrancy and intimacy and aliveness and playfulness in that. He grabs the teacher. I mean, it would be the same as grabbing him and going, giving him a nookie or giving him a hug. I've done this. Grab the teacher's head and give him a big kiss on the forehead. He says, oh, this is all it. How immediate and vibrant and alive. The only thing that prevents it is understandable. We have to not scold ourselves or be caught in why am I doing this wrong or why am I at fault. The only thing that stops us is our own sense, understandable, of self-protection. Self-preservation. And for many of us, we've been hurt in such ways, all of us, we've been hurt in such ways, that we build up barriers to the immediate playful vibrancy that we had as children. or that we might have had as children if those barriers didn't come pre-verbally. So we have understandable self-protection that we learn is no longer necessary when we feel and dive into the deep confidence that sees beyond the beyond. This isn't a personal self-confidence. It's a deep underlying connection with this blossoming universe. And being and allowing to be a blossom in this blossoming universe, to blossom into life and indeed to blossom back into death, to take every moment of this difficult and challenging life, and to take every moment of the tests and trials that we face and allow them to blossom forth fully. In such a way that we have no regret, in such a way that we are not burdened or stymied or feel like we're living with the brakes on. And when we live in such a way, I guarantee you, this thing that we might call the universe smiles back at us, even in death. It appreciates our attentive attention. Our attentive hearts, our open minds, we feed it back. I want to close with one more story very quickly. I'm seeing the time. This is one of the koans in the book that holds a very dear place to my heart because it's the koan that became the namesake of my own Zendo. This is chapter 3 of Ascending the High Seat. Ascending the high seat, the master said, from your lump of red flesh, there's a true person without rank who is always going out and coming in through the face. If you have not yet testified to this, look, look. Then a monk came forward, one of these either very clear, brave, or stupid monks, came forward and asked, what about the true person without rank? The master got down from his seat, grabbed him, and said, speak, speak. We hear that echo. Same thing Daigu said. The monk was going to say something. Whereupon the master pushed him away and said, the true person without rank, what a piece of shit. Then the master returned to his quarters. This true person without rank, this true person without artifice that we all are, the true person without name, without history, without category, without right, without wrong, without this or that, or me and you, this true person that is continually flowing through us already, can we testify to it? Now, testify does not mean, can you tell me about it? Can you live it? Can you live this true person without rank? In other words, speak, speak. The hesitation is I need to think about it. Let me start with the formulation. And that's when Rinzai pushes him back. And he says, true person without rank, what a piece of shit. Now, we might think, oh, that is a total scold. That's a total scold. And in one perspective, it is. But we might also remember Uman, or those of you who haven't read the Mumonka may not remember Uman. Monk asked Uman, what is Buddha nature? And he said, a dried piece of shit. This true person without rank is golden, vibrant, alive. And just an ordinary piece of shit. It's everywhere. It's out. It's all speaking to us. And it's all just waiting for us to testify to it, to dance with it, and to acknowledge it. Does not matter if it's the halcyon days of a bright new future or the difficult times that we're facing. It's here. Our task is to embrace it. And I wish everyone well in that endeavor. And I think I'm looking at Domio on my screen. I can see everyone on my screen. I have 28 people, 29 people right now. Domio, do questions and answers. I'm happy to, or whatever you'd like.
Yes, people, we've tried to formalize it with like putting your name in the chat or raising your hand, but we just don't bother. We just, people go ahead and unmute yourself. If you have something to say, we basically make a commitment to sit here until 12:15. And if somebody says something, they see something.
Turn my volume up a little bit.
I'm Koshin from Norik Zendo, and I just want to tell all of you, and Domio in particular, I thank you for having me be here today also. I'm glad that I joined you guys. I'm anxious to hear you tonight. And I want to assure all of you that I've never been hit. So maybe that's good or bad. It sounds so awful, Renzon. So I'm still, I know we say it's playful, but it always, I always think, ugh, people don't understand. It's just scary.
Thanks for that clarification. In my notes on
Kyoshin, what would you say, I guess in your experience, I mean, what is the equivalent of hitting in your experience of the
a hug? What is an experience? I don't know. I think it more than anything, it's the wake up. Or I don't know. Wow, Domio, put me on the spot.
Your first answer was a good one, I think.
What's that? The hug? That's what it feels. That is. But then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. It does feel that way. It's, yeah. Good or bad, you know? Like, oh, man, you didn't get it. But like, okay, here's a hug. Work, try again. Or, yes, you got it. So.
I want to speak to that, which is that there can be such a strong distortion that the powerful waking up is something that is sharp. And I mean, there is that. And that there's a strong tradition in Japan, and some teachers have carried it over here, which is I'm going to be mean and aggressive and try to frighten you and confuse you and confound you until you wake up. And throw you back on yourself over and over again. There's no rule outs. That can be an effective way of teaching. It's not my style. And so you're not gonna find that with me. And because I think more often than not here in America, it's not helpful. And here in the United States, in the Western mind, certain clear acts of kindness and love, we so don't expect them. We're so shielded that to speak clearly and confidently about love and care, a hug or a smile, is just as powerful. In fact, can be more powerful. And so we have to utilize all of our tools to all of our abilities. And again, that's why I describe Rinzai as these are a bunch of, you know, for those of us who grew up in a rough and tumble way, like my brother and I would beat up on each other. And that's our way of saying, I love you. It's kind of weird, but that's what we did. And you got to think about these young men at the monastery doing the same thing. But it's not one hit fits us all.
I have to say that in India, the thing that is similar, well, not just India, anybody who has a dog who is reactive to other dogs or other human beings, and when you try desperately to give that piece of treat to change their mind, to focus on you instead of the person that's attacking, that's pretty much what this method is to just shift your focus from what you're reacting to something better.
I would say that there's one component, which is wake up, shake out, and you're caught. And the stick and a shout can be there for that purpose, and it can be effective. Kyoshin says she's never been hit. She actually has, but only upon request. Because I do carry the keisaku when we have longer sits. And if you request it, and you say, can I please be hit with the keisaku? And then I use the keisaku. And it's great in terms of breaking either a mental or physical preoccupation. And it snaps out like what you're describing with a dog. Come back. That's part of it. But the other part is, you know, again, this, you know, the whole universe expresses in that moment. And then we also learn in studying Rinzai is that there's many different kinds of hits. There's many different kinds of shouts. And, you know, so we think, oh, it's just this one shout and it's a great expression. But we start to see the variation in all of these, not just what they mean, but how they feel and what different facets of our life they're bringing forth. So it's an expedient mean, I'd say, in three levels. One is wake up, give me your attention, or bring it back here. Number two is this is it, boom, right now. And number three is, and can you see the texture inside that boom, right? Which asks us to see even more deeply.
Thank you for being here, wherever here may be, Rinzai, in cyberspace. I had a particular experience at a retreat, and I was experiencing this no self, no other, and I went in to see my teacher, and he asked me a question, and I did that. I'm about to say something, and I said something probably pretty stupid, and he just went so that was Kyogen's way of going smack.
It'd be very effective. You know, I have a friend who his approach is and that's enough.
Hi, my name is Matt. I'm kind of new to Zen. I'm not new to Buddhism, but I'm new to Zen. So the differences between Soto and, is it called Rinzai or Rinz? Like the different schools, I'm still trying to other than the roughhousing element, I guess, what are the major differences between Soto and your school? And how do they complement each other too?
Rinzai, R-I-N-Z-A-I, Rinzai.
Okay, I will look up and educate myself after this talk.
In Chinese, it's Linji, and so sometimes you have to look that up, but we still just honor the Japanese pronunciations of Rinzai. You know, the differentiation between schools, in my mind, it's overstated and overplayed, that it's just different flavors. And so we can look at every spiritual tradition. I'm going to answer your question more specifically, but starting out from a broad perspective, we can look at every spiritual tradition and say all of them, unless they've developed distortions and become contracted in their own fears and ego preoccupations, but all of them, in terms of their greatest aspirations, point towards reality, the reality before heaven and earth, the utter reality or the great matter. You can find that in Christianity, in Islam, and Judaism, and Buddhism, and Zen, and all of the different schools. They all point at it, but they point from different parts of the mountain, so to speak. And some of them point very far apart, such that it's like, wow, I really have to do a lot of translation to understand what you're getting at and the means that you get at it. And others are just slightly shifted. And between Soto and Rinzai, it's a slight shift when you put it in perspective. I have a friend who studies Tibetan Buddhism, and he and I sit and have lunch, and we're like, you do what? What? Huh? This is still Buddhism? And so Buddhism doesn't fall neatly under one umbrella. And yet, so Zen in general, it can be differentiated in rough pieces from Theravadan and from Vajrayana or Tibetan Buddhism. And then we have Zen. There's other ways to artificially differentiate them. At some point, there's two ways to look at this. At some point, the schools branched off, and we read the Soto lineage today, and I could see the name where we go our way and you go yours. In all honesty, I believe, and my studies indicate, that the strongest differentiation comes from political factions and saying, we're the real guys and we want imperial favor in the Chinese court, so you should listen to Rinzai practitioners. And then the Soto would do the same thing, and we go back and forth. That said, there are subtle differentiations in flavor. It's not the difference between chocolate and vanilla, but it might be milk chocolate and dark chocolate. I'll leave it for you to decide who gets to be milk chocolate and who gets to be dark chocolate. I said that without thinking and realizing I might be setting up a hierarchy, which wasn't my intention. So in any case, it's a slightly different flavor. And what you will see is Rinzai leans more on koan study. So these passages that I read today, that they're not, they are in Soto tradition. In fact, we study koans from Tozan, who is the founder of the Soto tradition. For me to pass through all the koan curriculum, I had to study Tozan's five ranks. So, but we emphasize koan study and koan expression more. And so that's one of the main factors. And then Soto study emphasizes shikantaza, just sitting. A huge part of my practice is shikantaza, just sitting. And then I bring in koans and work with koans at the same time. I would say that's the primary factor. Otherwise, you're going to look at tone and flavor and what resonates with your own karma a little bit better. Like I said, Rinzai has a tradition with all the hitting and everything and being rough and tumble. And I think Soto has more of the tradition of scholarly, but it's still without letters. And, you know, it's still this. It's just practice of thusness and experience directly. So, and Soto sit facing the wall and we sit facing inward, which is probably the most important and profound differentiation between the two. That's a joke. But you'll find little differences like that. Would you add or subtract anything, Domio?
No, I think it's a great summary. I love that. That seems like a very Japanese answer in a way, that if you went to Japan, you'd be like, I don't know if I want to go to a Rinzai temple or a Soto temple, and like, what's the difference? I would totally be like, imagine monks saying, well, we face the wall, they face inward. You pick, you know, whatever. I guess, you know, for me, sometimes the main flavor difference, as I've encountered the practice in the West anyway, is there's a little bit more of an explicit emphasis in Rinzai on waking up. It's a tricky thing, because you start talking about it, you concretize it, just like all the things Rinzan was saying today. What is that? And now you're thinking of what it should be, and it's not what you have, and yet it is supposed to be what you know, whatever. So it's, that can be tricky. And in Soto, it's like no gaining idea. Like nothing to gain, nothing to do, which in some ways is profound, but in some ways leads to complacency. So that's, for me, is why I think Soto and Rinzai they've actually lived side by side. You know, like you were talking today about, you know, students being sent to other teachers. They did that between the Soto and Rinzai lines as well. You know, I could totally see having a complacent student like, I'd be like, go sit a Rinzai session, you know, vice versa. So, well, we've come to the end of our time, so I will just say a little closing verse, and we can end. So thank you very much, Rinzan. So abiding in this ephemeral world, like a lotus in muddy water, the mind is pure and goes beyond. Thus we bow to Buddha. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, maha prajna paramita. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Have a great day.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.